and give her that. Well, I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah 43. The songs that we sing here are scriptural songs. I don't know of any that we sing that are not scriptural. And I think that we are wise enough in the Lord and mature enough in the Lord to be able to discern spiritual songs and songs of the Word from songs of our human nature. Do you know what I'm talking about? And it's really good to know that the worship leaders, particularly one of them, has discerning of spirits. And he can discern and get a, you know, get a direction for those types of things. Discerning of spirits is a very good thing to have when you're leading worship, particularly in selecting of songs. But I just want to read just a little bit of this. The whole chapter is fantastic, and man, I just wish you'd read the whole thing. But let's just read a little of this, and we'll see. This is one of the songs that we sang tonight, and as we sang it, I was just impressed to find it, and let's read it. Chapter 43 of Isaiah, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that hath formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Isn't that something? Isn't that just a wonderful thing to know that he has called us? We haven't called him. He's called us. He's chosen us. And that we are his? You are mine, saith God. Now that to me gives me a lot of comfort. I'm not the devil's. I'm not even my own. I'm his. Now that's encouraging. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Is that what we sang? I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Child, you are mine. Now that's an encouraging word to me. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Miriam gave me some tapes. And they're tapes about prayer. And she told me when she gave them to me, she says, in a way, I don't want to give you these because you're going to want us to be getting up every morning at 6 o'clock and coming and praying. And they are good. And I so bear witness with them. What it's about is taking the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I have taught that prayer in a very similar fashion. He's given a lot more insight and things than I've saw, but I've taught that in a very similar fashion so I could immediately bear witness with it. But one of the things that he does, and he has about 300 meeting every morning at 6 o'clock to pray. One of the things that they do is they look to the north and they demand that the princes of the north give up the seed. Then they look to the south. Then they look to the east and to the west, and they demand that those powers and principalities give up the sons of God, give up the seed of God, that it can come back. Man, you know, this is powerful stuff here. I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by name. Child, you are mine. Now, that should give us so much comfort. You're God's. You've been purchased. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. You're not the devil's. Whose are you? You're God's. You're His bride. He loves you. My goodness. Well, that's just a good place to go where I want to go tonight. So I won't even take an offering tonight. I'll just teach. Thank you. There's something very wonderful knowing that I'm God's. Knowing that the Lord loves me. He loves me just like I love my wife. And He desires to hold me just as I desire my wife. He loves me. He loves you. We're gonna get that revelation. We're gonna get the fullness of what all that means one day. We are the bride of Christ. We're not a type of the bride of Christ. Do we understand that? We're it. We are her. Of course, we're doing the study of the New Testament church. I need a little bit more room up here. And this is the fourth teaching that we've had on it. And I was up this morning about 5 o'clock. It wasn't anything spiritual. It was just that I couldn't sleep. And so I got up and began to seek the Lord. And this, I thought, was just a thing in me that was there. But as I began to put it on paper and to develop it, it began to grow. And I won't even be able to get it all through tonight. But I want to share this with you. So let's pray. Okay? Father, we adore you. Holy Ghost, we just invite you into our presence. And we thank you for the spirit that we've sensed tonight and the love that we've sensed today. For the direction that you've given us in the services and the meetings and the gatherings and the assemblings together. But Lord Jesus, we just adore you. We seek you. As the deer panteth for the water brook, Lord, our soul longeth after you. You're our husband. You're our lover. The Father chasteneth the children. And the commander of the army commands. But the Lord loves his bride. And Lord, we thank you that you love us. You've redeemed us. You've called us by name. We're yours. And Lord, as we look at your church, as we look at the word, Lord, that you've given for tonight, Lord, just quicken it to us how much you love us. How much you love us. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. New Testament Church Part 4, and I've entitled this one, The Church of the Supernatural. The Church of the Supernatural. Now, kind of strange thought because, you know, why would you say the Church of the Supernatural? Isn't there only one church? Yeah. But if you look at the church world today, what you find is that you have two, I want to say entities, but you have two structures of churches. And one is the structural church. I got to do something here, too. We're about out of stuff. And one is the spiritual. One church is the structural church, and one church is the spiritual church, and that's what I'll be talking about tonight. The structural church and the spiritual church. Now, you find most of the times a meeting of both of those. And I'll define them more clearly after a while. But the church that we're going to be looking at tonight and seeing was a spiritual church. And what man has done and time has done is take the spiritual church and make a structural church out of it. Okay? And now what God is doing in this new day of restoration is taking the structural church and making a spiritual church out of it. He's restoring again. He's rebuilding again. He's bringing it back to what it needs to be. And so what we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks is looking at that church in its origin. Then we'll look at it in its deterioration. And then we'll look at it in its restoration. And finally in its destination. How many wants to know the destination of the church? You see, we understand and we've got all of the scriptures and all on its origination and its deterioration. We know a lot about from history, and its restoration is the times that we're living in, but its destination is what we're all about. Now, let's look at Matthew 16. This is our foundation scripture in this entire study. And in Matthew 16, well, we haven't had a crowd like this for about a year. Back at the assemblies, we had some like this. It's a good crowd, good people. Man, God's got here who He wants here. Is that right? Amen. Beautiful spirit. And in verse 18, Matthew 16 and 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I, Jesus, will, his determination, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, shall not prevail against it. Now, is Jesus building his church today? Is he? Yeah. Now, is he going to build it halfway, 50%, and then come and get her? Is he going to build it 3/4 of the way and then come get her? Is he going to build her 99% of the way and then come and get her? When can we really begin to look for the Lord Jesus Christ to return? When we put Satan under our feet, when the church becomes to the full maturity where she can do that. Now let's look at a couple of scriptures that'll relay that thought from the scriptures and not just coming from me. Let's look first at Ephesians 5:25. You see, this is important because it is imminent. And it does, you know, we've got to be always looking. We've got to. But if we're just looking all the time to go, we'll never mature. And what the Lord emphatically states throughout His Word is continuously to grow into Him. Grow up. Now let's see when what he says here about his woman in Ephesians 5. Let's start with verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, when I say church, don't think of a building, right? You don't think of a building. Neither do you think of a denomination. What do you think of now when I say church? When I say church, or you read church, or somebody says church, what do you immediately think of? People. And let me make it real clear. I'm going to hit it in just a second. Think of a race of people. A special race of people. I'll give you scripture in just a second. But when you think of the church, you don't think of a building, you don't think of a denomination, you don't think of improved Judaism. You think of God's peculiar, special, called out people, separated from the world. That's His church. And it says here that He loves her, doesn't it? Does that say that? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. He loves that race of people. Verse 26. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself half grown. 75% grown. How grown? Glorious. Gloriously grown. Without spot or without wrinkle or without any such thing. Now, do you see the church like that today? So, you know, according to these kinds of scriptures, I'm not looking for Jesus tomorrow, okay? Now, if He comes, fine. I mean, I'm ready. But what I'm saying is simply this, is that we've got some maturing to do. We've got some glory to be putting on. We've got to be changed from glory to glory. Am I relating? Am I coming across? So, yes, He's coming, and yes, He is coming. The Lord Jesus Christ in person is coming. But when He comes, He will present to Himself a glorious church, without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. Now another one, let's look at, we're right here in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting or the maturing. That's what that means. The maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till or until we all come into the unity of faith, till we all come unto the knowledge of the Son of God, till we all come unto a matured man, until we all come into 50% of the measure of Christ. What measure do we have to come into? What measure does the church world have to grow to and become before we can expect His coming? Fullness. Putting every enemy under your feet. And the final enemy is death. Now, that's... Now, we get on that wave. But it's there, folks. That is real. Every enemy must be put under our feet. Did Jesus put death under His feet? Does the church world have to come to the fullness of Jesus? Okay. Now, measure in the stature of Jesus. Is that what it says? What does it say? Measuring the stature of what? Christ. Fullness of Christ. Fullness of the anointing. Now, that's where we've got to understand the difference of being members of the body of Jesus or members of the body of Christ. What are we members of? The body of Christ. The body of the anointed. And we've got to come to the measure and the stature of the fullness of that body. We can't even get together on our doctrines yet. You see, there is some maturing. We're like a bunch of little teenagers, and we're all got our own little ways and little doings. And until we dissolve into Him and lose our separateness. Mark and Debbie were at the house today, and that's one thing, you know, we just were talking about scriptures and things, and until we lose our personal identities and merge into one complete body. Now, I'm not just talking about this fellowship. I'm talking about every church, called out, separated race of people, until we can come together and be as one, even as Jesus and the Father was one. Until we can come into that oneness, we're not perfected yet. So by just the scriptures that we've looked at just now, what percent of growth must the church come to before we can look for Jesus to come? 100%. She will be at the maximum of her perfection, at the maximum of her purity, at the maximum of her power, at the maximum of her glory will be this church. Now, let's move on. So far in our study, what I've basically projected to you is a definition of the church. And a definition of the church is a separate, called out people moving into the maturity who the gates of hell shall not prevail against. Is that pretty much what you've heard over the past 3-4 messages? Yeah. That's all I've really projected to you, is there's a people that's going to be rooted out, of the things are going to be rooted out of us that aren't pleasing to the Lord, and pulled down and destroyed, and then so that God can come back and plant and build His church. We know that He's doing that in us. The very thing that Mike shared this morning was concerning that very thing. The scourge of the Christ in His life driving out all those stinking things. You see, that's what it's all about. That's understanding. There is a separated people coming into a maturity who the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Then it says, what I wanted you to do and see was, did He say, and we just read it a while ago in Matthew 16, did He say, I will build my churches? No, I'll build my church. One church. Universal. He didn't say, I'll build my denominations. There's going to be one separated people, one separated race of people that the gates of hell can't prevail against. Now, what I want to start concentrating on is the next section that I want to look at, which is origination of the church. Where am I? I bet I did look lost in this one. And I'll give you this on the overhead. I was going to kind of put it over there, but... I've been wanting to do this for several weeks. Will us get those lights, please? Just this first row so this overhead will show up good. I want you to see what I'm intending on studying. And I know I've told you that we would have several lessons on this. And here's kind of a list of them for you. What we've so far done is, number one, we have brought forth a definition of the New Testament church. What I want to do now is, number two, begin on looking at the origination of the New Testament church. Then we're going to look at the deterioration of the New Testament church. Because I've got to do all of that before we can understand the restoration of what we're in right now and what God's doing again. And then we'll be able to understand the destination. Then I want to look at membership in the New Testament church, government in the New Testament church, offices of the elder, the deacon, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. Do they have all of those in the first New Testament church? I want to look at the functions of saints. What you're supposed to do as a congregation. I want to look at the ministries of women. I want to look at stewardship and finances in the New Testament church. I want to look at church ordinances, water baptism, and communion. By that time, God will give me number 12 and it'll be complete. But that's what I want to study and that's what I want to look at. But what I want to begin with right now, get me the lights, please. What I want to get right now is the origination. I want to start looking at the origination, so that then we can look at the deterioration, not tonight, so that we can understand the restoration, so that we can understand the destination. Now, if I ask you where the first reference to the church in the New Testament was, you should be able to tell me by now. Where is it? Well, you got it, Will. Let's go ahead. Matthew 16:18. You should know that. And you should be able to define the church. I just gave you the definition for it. You should be able to define it, that it is a peculiar race. And let's look at that right while I'm on it. Look at Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. You got to know, you're not just a little bit different. We've got to know that the church is not just somewhat different from everybody else. You got to know you're a lot different. You got to know that you're so different that you're a brand new race. You're a creation, a new creation that's never before existed. You are part of a people that has never before existed. Now, let's read it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And then I want to read it to the out of the Amplified or get one of these ladies that's got an Amplified. How many Amplifieds we got here? I know I got two. Two. Is that all? All right. In verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy or pity, but now have obtained mercy. Now listen to that out of the Amplified Bible. But you are a chosen... They won't believe me if I tell them. Judy, you and Miriam, tell them what that says. Race. You are a chosen race. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What the church is a brand new race. And when somebody says church or you read church, that's what it's really talking about. You're a brand new race that's never before existed. The church is a race of people so peculiar, so different, that you've never before been. That's what verse 9 tells us, which in times past you weren't even a people. But now you are the people of God. You are the race of God. Remember, was it last week, a week before, must have been a week before, when I told you every 2,000 years, God gets him a brand new race? He got Adam. 2,000 years, he got the Hebrew race with Abraham. 2,000 years later, what'd he do? He got him a brand new race with Jesus, and that's what you and I are. But do you know that 2,000 years are nearly over? And there's going to be a brand new race that comes again? I said this a couple of times, and I want to say it again. The only thing we learn from history is that we never learn from history. But if 2,000 years God got him a new race, and then 2,000 years he got him another race, and then 2,000 years we think he's going to get him another race, can we be pretty sure that he's going to get one? If we follow history, if we try to learn something from history, can we sort of expect it? Well, that's what the Word says. All right. But if I asked you, you understand the definition of the church now. You understand that it's a race of people. The church is a race of people. I can't get off of that. Maybe it is good if we put our hair in a bun and wear the long clothes and no makeup. We look different. I'm just trying to... No, I'm not even looking at you, Miriam. You know what I'm saying. We got to be different. We've got to be so different that it's like another race. If a different race comes into our fellowship, do we immediately know it? Yeah. We welcome them, but we immediately know it. And it should be that way with a Christian. We should be such a different race that people immediately know it. And that's where I'm aiming at trying to get to tonight. We are a supernatural race. Because we have a supernatural head. But if I asked you, what is the origination? Where would you go in the Scriptures to get the origination? Could you tell me? If we got origin, where would somebody go to get the origination of the church? What? Acts. That's exactly right. That's what we're going to be dealing with tonight. The book of Acts gives us the origination. But I get a word out of this word origination. Another word. Original. How many want the original? How many want the real thing? You know, Coca-Cola's got that slogan, it's the real thing. You know, they brought forth the Coke, and then there's Pepsi, and then there's Colas, and then there's all these other things. But it says, I'm the real thing, doesn't it? We gotta have the real thing. I'm tired of the play actings and the things that call themselves church. I want the original. I want the original more than I want anything. I want to see it manifested. I want to see the original church in the earth today doing what the original church did then. Out of origination, we see original. So to find the original church, we look in the book of Acts. After a definition, we need a pattern. Where would we go to find the pattern of the New Testament church? Book of Acts. Did Moses get a pattern after God gave him a commandment to build the tabernacle, to build the house of God? Did Moses get a pattern? Yeah. And God specifically told him, he says, Moses, build it after the pattern. I'm not interested in what you think it should look like. I'm not interested in anything else, Moses. I want it built after my pattern. How does God want His church built? After the pattern. He's given us a pattern. But if you look at the New Testament church, or the church today, or what we call church today, compared to the pattern, I'm afraid you'll find we've deviated from it. It looks absolutely nothing like that. We've added a little here and taken away a little there. We've changed it. We've made it man-centered rather than God-centered. The whole Bible is Christ-centered. Everything points to Christ. But we take it and we put man in there somehow. We make everything point at us. The New Testament church points to Christ, not to man. This was good. I want to write it because it is good. And I'm not patting myself on the back. A lot of these things that I'm sharing with you, I've learned just recently myself, some of them. This I just learned. The book of Acts is the genesis Is that right? Is the genesis of the New Testament. What does the word Genesis mean? Beginnings. All right. So the book of Genesis tells the beginnings of natural man. Is that right? But the book of Acts tells the beginnings of supernatural man. The book of Acts tells the beginnings of supernatural man. The book of Genesis tells the beginnings of natural man. Acts is the genesis of the New Testament. We have a supernatural head. Therefore, we are a supernatural body. Acts is the beginning of what today should be supernatural. Can you say amen? It should have never changed, but it has. We are the church. We must be then supernatural. We cannot settle for anything other than being supernatural. Because if we're settled for anything other than being supernatural, we're doing nothing else than any of the other denominations have done, than any of the other buildings have done, than any of the other groups have done. We must not settle for anything other than the supernatural. And the supernatural must happen so much in our presence that it just becomes natural. We must come expecting the supernatural to transpire. Mark was telling me today that last week everybody came with a great expectancy. They knew that Buren would be here, and I had encouraged everybody and told him that he would move in the word of prophecy. We should be that way every time we come. Every time we come to the house of God, we should come with an expectancy that the supernatural is going to happen. And it gets so commonplace to the church that it's only natural. Acts is the book of beginnings for the supernatural race. Acts is the book of the beginnings for the supernatural race. Let me put that race up there. Supernatural man or supernatural race. Who wrote the book of Acts? Let's turn to the book of Acts. Luke wrote the book of Acts. He wrote two books. What was the other book that Luke wrote? Both of the books that Luke wrote were written to one individual, a Theophilus. That was the individual's name, Theophilus. Theophilus means lover of God. How many lovers of God do we have here today? How many Theophiluses? You see, so the book of Acts was written to you. The book of Luke was written to you. Let me give you this. The book of Luke told the story of a man. Who was that man? Jesus. And it told of him in his natural or supernatural, let me put it that way, his supernatural human body. I can say it that way. All right? Is that what the book of Luke told? It told of a supernatural being supernatural Jesus and his, let me put it this way, supernatural Christ and his human body. All right, the book of Acts, again written by the book of by Luke, tells of still a supernatural Christ I'm running out of ink, but in his spiritual body. Did he say, greater works than I've done shall you do? He said, the Comforter is going to come, teach you all things. The book of Luke tells us about Christ, supernatural Christ in a human body. But the book of Acts tells us still about that same supernatural Christ, but in his spiritual body. And the same things that he done should we do. Sure. It's the beginnings. We are to imitate him, to be what he is, come into the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. He was the prototype. He was the picture. He was the image in which we are to conform to. Did Jesus go about working wonders and miracles and raising the dead? Sure he did. What should then his body be doing now? Same thing. The book of Luke told about him in his human body, but the book of Acts tells about him in his spiritual body. There's no difference. You read the book of Acts, you'll find that that body done the very same thing that Jesus did, didn't it? The body that you read about in the book of Acts, the church, done the very same thing that Jesus did in Luke. Did it cast out devils? Did Jesus cast out devils? Did that body in the book of Acts raise the dead? Did Jesus raise the dead? Did that body in the book of Acts heal the sick? Did Jesus heal the sick? That body in the book of Acts should do the same thing that that body in the book of Luke did. Is it? Very scarcely, here and yonder. How often do we expect a miracle? Somebody just really, really, be honest now. How often do we expect a miracle? Well, no, be honest with me. For the most part, when we come to church, do we really expect a miracle every time we come? All right. Church across the street, when it comes together, does it expect miracles? You know what I'm saying. We are not expecting, so we're not getting. We got to come with an expectancy for the supernatural. They expected the supernatural to happen in the book of Acts, and it happened. They proclaimed the word of God and then expected Him to perform it. The book of Acts has many names throughout the scriptures, or throughout history, not throughout scriptures. But it has many names throughout history. It's been called the Acts of the Ascended and Glorified Lord. It's been called the Book. It's been called the Demonstration of the Resurrection. It's been called the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. It's been called the Fifth Gospel. But if you'll read the book of Acts, are you there? Everybody there? Book of Acts chapter 1. What does your heading say? The Acts of the Apostles. That's our present day rendering or title for the book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles. But if you read the book of Acts, well, let's just read a little bit. Look in the first chapter. Let's look at verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about how many? 120. Were all 120 of them apostles? Were they? Were all 120 of those in the upper room that day apostles? But what were they? The believers, the church. Okay. All right. Acts chapter 2. And verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Was all 3,000 apostles? But what were they? The church. Look at chapter 4, verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000, was all 5,000 apostles. But what were they? It was the church, the body, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you go on through, and I won't take time to read anymore, but in chapter 4 you'll find there that there's a whole company praying, and they pray so fervently that the whole house was shaken. And you read in chapter 6 about seven deacons. Were they apostles? And you read in chapter 7 about the Acts of Stephen and chapter 8 about the Acts of Philip. Were they apostles? And you read in chapter 13 about the Acts of the prophets and the teachers that laid their hand on Paul and Barnabas and sent them forth and said, it's good to us and the Holy Ghost. Were they apostles? What I'm trying to show you is the book of Acts does not just center on the apostles. And the daughters of Philip who prophesied. So what I'm wanting you to see is that the book of Acts is not just about the apostles. It's about the church. So a real good workable title that we can use is the Acts of the New Testament Church. Now, I'm not trying to change the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to get you to see what I'm trying to project to you. The book of Acts is the Acts of the New Testament Church. It tells how the New Testament Church should function. It tells how the New Testament Church should operate. It tells what the New Testament Church should do. It tells us what we are supposed to come to. It gives us a description of the original. Am I right? We want the original, don't we? Or do we still want to go ahead with the carbon copies that we've been getting? I want the original. I don't know if I'm getting this across. Was the New Testament church birthed by man's design or by the supernatural? By the supernatural. But so many fellowships today are getting birthed by man's design. Look at chapter 2 of Acts. Well, let's just get one and we'll read a few verses. You got to understand that the New Testament church is supernatural. That's what I'm trying to come across with today. Look in chapter 1, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now what's going to happen? Is there a supernatural thing Jesus is promising here? Chapter verse 12. Then returned they into Jerusalem from Mount Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and all those fellows. And on down to verse 15, and it talks about the 120, chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Back up to verse 14 in chapter 1. I do want to get what they continued in. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. What did they continue in? Prayer and supplication. We're not praying enough. We pray a lot, but we're not praying enough. How many want the original? If you want the original, we're not praying enough. If you're satisfied with what we've got, we're praying plenty. Chapter 2, verse 2. They were in that upper room, and the day of Pentecost fully come, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all, how many? All filled with the Holy Ghost. Was the original filled with the Holy Ghost? And began to speak with other tongues. Did the original speak with other tongues? As the Spirit gave them utterance. And you can read on. That's just what I'm wanting you to see is there was a supernatural birth of the church. It birthed in a supernatural manner. It was not by man's design. Man wouldn't have done this. Man would not have designed the New Testament church to be birthed like this. Man would have designed 120 to come into a room and sing two hymns, sit down, hear a message, and go home. Am I right? Amen. Yes, I'm right. You know I'm right. But the way God designed it to happen was by cloven tongues as a fire to set down upon each of you and each of me and come upon us, and that we would be filled with Him. Filled with His very presence. And to release the most unruly member of our body. Did the supernatural end then? Was that all the supernatural? Was the birth of the church and the supernatural of its birth, did it end right there? No. The entire book of Acts. Give me the lights, please, again. I've done this morning. The book of Acts is supernatural. From chapter 1 all the way through to chapter 28. Supernatural, 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 supernatural. Let's read some of these. Christ's ascensions in chapter 1, was that supernatural? Pentecost, was that supernatural? Chapter 2. Healing of the lame man, chapter 3, 4, and 5, was that supernatural? Prayer answered by earthquake, chapter 4. Ananias and Sapphira were smoking, chapter 5. Multitudes healed by Peter's shadow. Was that supernatural? Multitudes healed by Peter. Okay, prison's doors opened by angels. Well, you tell somebody that today, they'd think something wouldn't. Wonders and signs by Stephen. Heaven opened and Stephen saw Jesus in chapter 7. Miracles and signs by Philip in chapter 8. Saul converted by a direct voice from heaven, chapter 9. Agabus prophesied a coming famine, chapter 11. Peter worked healings, chapter 9. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead, chapter 9. Peter had visions of clean and unclean, chapter 10. Cornelius had an angelic visitation, chapter 10. Cornelius received the Holy Ghost, chapter 10. Prison gates were open. Boy, they were in prison a lot. Did you know that? Would you want a pastor that was in prison that much? Prison gates open. Paul worked signs and wonders, chapter 13 and 14. Cast out devils and healed the sick. Earthquake released Paul and Silas from prison, chapter 16. Men spoke with tongues and prophesied, chapter 19. Paul raised Eutychus from the dead, chapter 20. Paul not harmed from the viper's bite, chapter 28. Paul healed the people of Melita from disease, chapter 28. If you take the supernatural out of the book of Acts, what do you have left? Very little. A couple of meetings at Jerusalem. And what are we doing today? Having a couple of meetings at Jerusalem. There is not enough supernatural in His church today. One reason is because we're not praying. You told me I'd do it. One reason is because we're not expecting it. Take the supernatural out of the book of Acts and there is very little left. God made abundant use of the miraculous and supernatural in His church. In its birth and in its origin, would you tell me, please, if that was a supernatural people, if that was a different kind of a race, if they were a separated people, different from anybody else, is His church supposed to be that way? Should it be the same today? The original or the real thing, church, should be supernatural. Now, what we have today does not resemble that. And if we race ahead from A.D. 63, which was when the book of Acts was written, to now, 1,925 years later, and we look at the church today, we will see two structures that call themselves the church. We'll see one that is I've erased it, structural church, and one that is a spiritual church. You got to know this. This is what we have today. Most of the times, even the ones that call themselves spiritual have a combination of that which is structural. The structures called churches today. First of all, the structural church. The structural church involves buildings, organizations, man-made programs, policies, and church politics. Things which can be produced by man without the supernatural works of God. Is that what we basically have today? Is that what we basically call church today? Man's programs, man's policies, man's organizations, man's buildings. Anything. Now, we really have a vision here. We've got some things that we want to see happen in this area. And it all is aimed at and for the spiritual church. But answer me. I mean, I want you to know what I'm thinking, how I'm thinking, what the Lord's impressing on me. I want to relate it to you. But is a Bible college or a Christian school, is that a spiritual church? It's a structural church. But it is aimed at producing a spiritual seed. What I'm trying to project to you is that you can be spiritual, yet have to have a little structure. Am I confusing the issue? There has to be, but primary, they didn't have Bible colleges in the book of Acts. You know, they didn't do the things in the book of Acts that we consider church. What the church is, and you got to separate what the church is, what the race of people is, from the organizations of the church. What the church is the spiritual church. This is the body of Christ. This is the church. This is the bride. Involves the things which cannot be produced by man, but only be produced by the supernatural works and moving of the Holy Spirit. That is the church. What the church is the supernatural. That's when church is church. The spiritual church is not buildings and organizations, but people. Now get this. People whom Christ is active. What does Christ mean? The anointing. People whom the anointing is active is the church. That's the peculiar race that we read about in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The church is that people, that race, that called out separated race in which the supernatural is activated in your life. Remember what the book of Acts is. The book of Acts is the genesis of the New Testament. And it gives you the beginnings of the supernatural race. And we are to do in Acts and now what Jesus did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John gave us a very vivid picture of what the natural, supernatural human Christ did, didn't it? The book of Acts and the church today should be giving the same very vivid picture of what the supernatural body Christ does now. How am I doing? I mean, am I getting this across to you? The church should be supernatural. And the supernatural should be natural to the spiritual church. Now, to the structural church, the supernatural is not even desired. They can't handle it. If a church is just simply structured to have its services strictly structured and ordered, there is no place for the supernatural. You went Wednesday night. Was there any place for the supernatural to happen? No, because it is so structured. But this morning, was there opportunities for the Spirit to move and work in people's lives? Was there opportunities for the supernatural to happen? And we've got to begin to get more and more and more into that area. Allow God to come forth. The words, the prophecies that's been given to me over the last several months is simply this, that in 1987, the spiritual gifts will be released in this fellowship. We will begin to walk in a new dimension of spirituality, of the supernatural, that I believe it with all of my heart, we cannot even imagine. God's going to stir us up. He's going to lay hands on you, stir up gifts in you. You're going to start bringing forth words of knowledge. You're going to bring forth words of understanding and revelation. You're going to start functioning and flowing in tongues and prophecies and interpretation. We're going to be moving in miracles and discerning of spirits. We are going to see the manifestation of the spiritual body of Christ right here. Mostly because we're beginning to understand it. We're open to it. We're desiring it. We're seeking after Him. Modern man sees things like electricity and tape recorders and televisions and automobiles and airplanes as natural, don't we? I mean, we look at that as kind of a natural thing. But how would primitive man look at those things? Man, that'd be supernatural to him, wouldn't it? I mean, this guy, you know, that had to get his wife by beating her over the head with a club and dragging, and they see these fancy cars these boys drive around in now. I mean, you know, it would be supernatural. Well, this should be the very same way to the lost man when he comes to the church. Not when he goes to a building, but when he comes to a church. He should see the supernatural. What transpires in here should be natural to us. It should be happening all the time. But when a lost man comes in here, or an unsaved man comes in here, or somebody that's not functioning and flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, when they come in here, they should see the supernatural happening. And the Bible promises us this thing. It says when you function like that and you flow in the gifts of the Spirit, when you flow in prophecies and those types of things, He says they'll fall on their face and say, for a surety, God is among you. We're going to flow in that. We're going to function in that. How many is ready to do that? How many wants the original? I want it so bad. I pray for it. I say, God, give us the gifts. He told me down in Destin, he said, stop praying for them. I've heard you. They're coming in 87. You got them. Now, that's something to stand on, isn't it? Man, I'll tell you, I can't wait. And I promise you that over this next year, gifts will be stirred in you. But what I want you to see is that we cannot allow ourselves to get into a structural situation where we're totally structured. We got to be a spiritual church. First and foremost, structure can come under it, all that. But we got to be first and foremost spiritual. We got to be supernatural. We got to get back to the original. How many wants the real thing? I'm ready for one right now, aren't you? I want to go over to Wendy's, wherever we're going, and get a real thing. But I want the real thing here. I want to see the manifestations of God right here. I want to see people. I want to see, you know, in the body of Christ, I don't, you know, like I can look at that's my thumb and that's my foot. I want to get it. I want it to come to a place that there's the discerning of spirits right there, you know, and there's the prophet right there. And you know, and when we have a need and somebody needs some ministry, then we can just point to the body, to the part of the body. If I want to pick up something, I don't pick it up with my foot. I pick it up with my hand. And if a person has a spirit that I discern, needs a discerning spirit, then I call for that has a discerning of spirits. If somebody has a need to be edified, I call for the prophet to come and edify. Do you see what I'm saying? If somebody needs a healing, do we call the discerning of spirits? Who do we call? No, he that functions in the gifts of healing. Where's Don Dowd? You see? That is what the body of Christ is to come to. When a person has a need, don't pick him up with your foot. You pick him up with the need that he has, the hand that can minister to him and touch his life. We are the body of Christ. We're not a type of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Are you ready? This year, 86, is nearly over, isn't it? And it's been promised that in 87, we will have the gifts of the Spirit. I'm excited. I want the original. Let's stand. Lights, please. I just want you to begin to open yourselves over these next couple of weeks and be in much prayer for this coming year. I know, and I was sharing with Mark today, I know that by the laying on of hands, remember that scripture that I showed you in Timothy where it says, neglect not the gift that was given to you by what? Somebody's forgotten. The gift that was given you by prophecy and by the laying on of hands. This year, we're going to have prophets coming in and the laying on of hands is going to take place. Gifts are going to be given you and stirred in you. And as they come, I really want us to begin to flow in them and function in them. And I'm having to cause myself to flow in what I know God's given me. But I'm doing it. You see me doing it, don't you? You see me starting to move in the gifts that God's given me. Judy's got gifts that's been prophesied over her and hands laid on her, and she knows she's got them. She's got to get stirred to give them. We all are that way. There's something about our human nature. We want to lay back and let somebody else do it. But I don't pick it up with my foot. If you are the hand that needs to pick that up, you got to minister and move in your gift. And so what I'm saying now is that as we go on into the next year, then let's really begin to pray and seek God for our gift. I want you to start praying when you're praying to remind God that He's promised us gifts and to stir them up in you so that you can function and flow with them when the time comes. And I want to pray something. I don't know what I want to pray exactly. I really just want to pray and get you to agree with me that we as a corporate fellowship, and as we are being assembled together by Christ, He said, I will build my church. As He assembles us together and He puts the stones where they need to go, we understand, don't we, that we can have a pile of stones but not have a church. Are we lively stones? Amen. Yeah. And He's building it. He's building His church. He's putting His stones together as they go. And the gifts that He's given you, I just want to pray right now, and I want you to pray that they'll be stirred up in you, and God will give you a boldness to come forth with those gifts and to flow in those things and come forth with what God's given you. Let's pray, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and do something. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do. I just want you to commit this thing to the Lord and that the Lord really began to function in you. Lord, we know You're building us. Lord, we understand that. We have a definition now of the church. And Lord, it's becoming more and more clear that we are a race, a special creed of people. We are an entity, Lord. We are something specifically called out for Your purposes. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Lord, we are beginning to understand that You're building us and that You're putting us together and that You're framing us. Lord, we understand that You're building Your church. We have a definition of that now, Lord. And Lord, we're looking now at the origination of Your church and we're looking at the original. Lord, we see in the original, Lord, that it's a supernatural body. Lord, they were a supernatural race of people that went about doing supernatural things like You did. Lord, what You did in Luke, they did in Acts. And Lord, we want to do that today. Lord, we want to do what You did in Luke and what You did in Matthew and what You did in John and what You did in Mark. Lord, our desire is to do what You did. We want to be Your spiritual body in this city. Lord, I just pray right now for every person in this fellowship. And Lord, I'm going to get them to commit it. Lord, I want them, right now, if you really are desiring spiritual gifts, get your hands up and just say, Lord, I'm going to commit it to You. I want spiritual gifts in my life. And Lord, you look at their hands, Lord. You see their commitment, Lord. We are committed to You. Nothing we desire, Lord, compares with You. Lord, You're more precious than anything, Lord. And we are committing it to You, Lord. The gifts that You've given us, Lord, we promise we won't dig a hole and bury them. Lord, we're going to come forth with our gifts. Lord, the things that You've given us, the talents that You've given us, Lord, the gifts and the functions of the Spirit that You've given us, the supernatural abilities, Lord, we are making a commitment to You tonight, Lord. We're going to function in them. We're going to flow in them. We're going to grow in them. Lord, we're going to become the matured stature and the full measure of You. Lord, we want to be a body without spot or without wrinkle or without any such thing. Lord, we want to be Your bride. Lord, we desire You. We want to do what You did. We want to be what You are. We want to be Your spiritual body. Lord, we want to do with a spiritual body what You did with Your natural body, Your supernatural human body. That's our desire, Lord. Holy Ghost, I just ask You right now to remind us of this at our time of prayer, that You will cause us to pray and to get an agreement with You that we are to flow in the gifts that You've given us. Holy Ghost, I just ask You right now as we pray every day, as we seek Your face, that, Lord, we will begin to stir those gifts. Lord, I pray for Ann and for Judy right now, that, Lord, as they're cleaning their house, Lord, as they are doing riding down the road in their car, Lord, I just pray that You'll begin to give them the song of the Lord. And, Lord, that You'll begin to give them spiritual songs. And, Lord, that You will begin to flow through them. Lord, that in a way it'll be like practicing for the real event, for the time when we come together. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that You'll do that for them. Lord, that they'll begin to just sing. And Lord, then when they come into the corporate meetings and the assemblies, Lord, that You will bring that song of the Lord forth from them that they've practiced. Lord, Lord, stir it up in them. Let them sing it forth. Lord, I pray for Dewey, and Lord, I just pray, Lord, that You continue to work the anointing of the prophet on his life. And Lord, that You began to, even as he's driving down the road and listening to tapes and meditating upon the things of the Lord, that You'll give him specific words to give to people, that when we come together in the corporate assemblies and meetings, that he can come and give them an edifying word and encourage them, Lord, and show them what You're doing in their life, Lord. I just pray for him right now. Lord, I pray for Tebow, and Lord, I just ask You, Lord, to the discerning of spirits that You've got in his life, Lord, that he begins to manifest in them. And when an individual needs help, or they have an undesirable spirit, or when they have a desirable spirit, that, Lord, he will be able to discern it. And, Lord, he can come and minister to them and bring them healing and deliverance if needed. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that You'll begin to minister to this body. Lord, for every person, Lord, for Willis, I pray, Lord, with the gifts of helps. Lord, just he has the gifts of helps. And Lord, I just pray for him, Lord, that You will continue to minister and work in his life. For Don Dowdle, Lord, I pray through the gifts of healings, Lord, that he will begin to continue to minister and pray for people, laying on of hands and functioning the gifts of healings. And Lord, those who Lord, I know have been schooled in faith, Lord, for Martha. And Lord, for those who have really been taught in school, and Mary Ann, Lord, I just pray for them that their faith can come forth and they can function in the gifts of faith. Lord, we desire miracles. And Lord, this is a long prayer, and I know it. But Lord, we just desire you so much. Lord, cause us to pray this way in our times of prayer. The Lord would say, that's what I've just done. He says, I've given you an example of how to be praying for the body of Christ. Pray for those that you know are prophets. Pray for those that you know are discerning of spirits. Pray for those that you know work in this area or work in that area or have this gift or have that gift. You pray for them and desire them to be stirred in those gifts, and you will begin to see the manifestations quickly. The Lord would say to us, pray fervently. As you get together in your times of corporate prayer, as you get together in your closets of individual prayer, you pray for the body of Christ. You pray for members in particular. You pray that the gifts that are in them will be stirred. Lord, we praise you tonight. We thank you, Lord. It's been so different today, Lord. Lord, I know you're working a work. You're doing a thing. Lord, I nearly want to say, you're doing a new things, but Lord, I know better. You're making all things new to us. You're not doing all new things. You're making all things new. Lord, you're making the book of Acts new to us today. The book of Acts is not a new book, but it's being made new to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. Rabba baba mosanda shashandra ramosi. Yakanda shashandra ramosi. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Sure. Okay.
La bossondara la condele bussindola la scida la bossondara la cascimo sciala la riando candale bilissi per la vestita scendale la condale le bilissi tola la mascina della bossita cavziolo sanciata no my son, no my son, the things that you've been through in your life, I have built into you a sensitivity, saith God. I have built into you a knowing, saith God. Yea, it is not by your mind, it is not by your own heart, saith God. It is by my heart, saith the Lord. I build in you what I build in you. Yes, and even in this body, you are as the nerve in the spinal cord, saith God. Yeah. Yea, you shall tell the foot, and you shall tell the hand when the foot hurts, and you shall tell the foot when the hand hurts. You shall tell the head, yea, you shall come even unto me, saith God. You shall tell, you shall know, saith the Lord, when this part needs ministering to, when that part needs ministering to. Yea, you shall be a peacemaker, saith God. And I have said, blessed be the peacemaker, saith the Lord. Yea, and there shall be people that shall come into this fellowship, that shall come in that will be new, that will not understand what is going on. And the Lord would say unto you, Mark, you'll minister unto those people. You'll be the nerve. You'll be the very sensitivity that is needed by this body to touch those people, saith God. Yea, you will reach out to them, and you will touch them, and they will know that I am in this place, saith God. I have brought you into this place. I am the one who raised you up, saith the Lord. Yea, and I would say unto you, the unseemly members shall have more honor, saith God. Yea, because they are me, saith God. By my spirit you shall minister to people. Yes, even those that are standing around you tonight, saith God. And I say unto this body, be sensitive to what the Lord would say through this brother. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 I encourage you, as we see the manifestations of the gifts start happening in amongst us, I really encourage you to come to a mic if you have a word for somebody or if you have a word for the entire fellowship. I know it's a little embarrassing sometimes, but we want to get it on tape. That's the thing. How many from the ministry that Buren had here just last week, if you've got a tape already, that you've gotten life just from that tape, from those words that were given to you, you can draw life from that thing. And when you have a word for somebody, let's get it on the tape so that it can minister life. Do you realize that you have the words of life in you? That's right. You are the body of Christ. You are the anointed. Amen. Well, praise God. Cut it off. Lord, we do right now. Lord, we want to be obedient to the Spirit. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you reminded Miriam, Lord, to do this. And Lord, we pray for President Reagan right now. Lord, we pray, Lord, from the tough times that he's going through right now, that you will encourage him and Lord, give him strength. Lord, that the honor of the man will be seen through all of this. And Lord, we just pray that you'll minister to him and to his, to that whole family, Lord. It's going through a tough time. Lord, we just ask you to dispatch right now ministering angels, Lord, those that should be the ministers to the heirs of salvation. Lord, we ask you to send them forth right now and minister to them. Minister to them, Lord. We pray for them. Let's pray in the Spirit for them. Rabababababosandalamokandashashandalamosu. Yakata shashandalamo sandalamoku. Raka shashandalamo shindia sandalamo shindia kandalamosu. Rabababamosi. Rabababamohandalamosu. Hallelujah. And Lord, we pray for the elections coming forth, the mayor of this city. And Lord, we just commit it, Lord, I know your will. I know what your will is in these matters. And Lord, I just pray that you stir up, send dispatching angels right now to stir up the church world, that they'll go forth and do what they're supposed to do. Lord, that they'll go forth and vote the way they're supposed to vote. You've put them, Lord, in a country where we have the right to vote and make these decisions. And Lord, your word tells us that the government is on our shoulders. And so, Lord, right now we speak it. We speak it, Lord, that the people of God will go forth and do the will of God. Do the will of God. Hallelujah. Rakandalaramos, shandalaramos. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. We lift him up to you right now. Lord, you're concerned about him. Lord, right now we speak healing. Lord, we dispatch healing right now. Lord, we speak to that bruise, that abrasion, and it will not scar. It will recover quickly. The healing virtues right now will go forth from his body and rapidly, supernaturally speed the healing. We'll have a healing miracle, Lord, and the knot will go away. There'll be no concussion, Lord. There'll be no signs of this incident. There'll be no signs. We pray for him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Amen.
Tape on. Is Margaret brought forth that word, I could just see in my spirit. I could just see in my spirit how that the Lord would have us to even pray for our local area or any area, exactly as the word of the Lord defined it to us, by the streets. You know, if we get a envision in our mind, the streets, First Street, Second Street, Third Street, right on down the on the line, and begin to pray for that city and that realm, and that is praying for a city. I mean, we can just generally speak, you know, I pray for this city. But the way that the Lord just lined it out to us was very specific, wasn't it?
Amen.
Right down the line, street by street by street. And we'll minister to you. The Lord spoke to me just to minister to you. Come up here, man. Just want to speak a word to you.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Receive that. Receive that. Rakanda shandalaramosi. Rabababon sanda shashandalaramokumokandalaramosanda shashandalaramosi. For the Lord would say unto you, daughter, you're as a well to me. You're as a well that should bring forth rivers of living water. You are a fountain to me, saith God. You are a fountain that's going to spring forth with waters of life and waters of praise and waters of worship from now on. The Lord would say there are things in that well that are cluttering it up. They're earthly things, humanity things, and things that need to be dug out of that well, saith God. And when you get those things out of that well, as you're trying to do every day of your life, saith God, I know you're trying, saith the Lord. I know you're trying to get those things out of there. And as you get them out, one by one, you're going to see yourself coming forth, saith the Lord, as a river of life. For out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the Lord wants you to know that you have a gift. And the gift that's in you is the gift of the song of the Lord and spiritual songs. You have a desire to worship and praise the Lord in songs and hymns and spiritual songs and to sing the song of the Lord. Not just sing a song to the Lord, but sing the song that the Lord gives to His church, and to come forth as the Lord wants to adore her and worship her a little bit as it is and sing to her. The Lord wants you to know that that's in you and that you're to seek after that and allow that to be stirred in you. And that's what this is all about, is to stir that gift within you. That's a life-giving force in you. But the Lord would say, you are a well to me, daughter. That just keeps coming back. You're a well to me, daughter. And in you is rivers and waters of life. Clean the well so that my fountain can flow freely into my body, into my bride, into my army. Allow it to come forth, saith the Lord. I desire to sing through you, saith God. Amen. Amen. As we were worshiping the Lord, I've always heard Ann worship in the Spirit and praise and sing in the Spirit. And it was just at that time the Lord really spoke to me to minister to her and give her that. Well, I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah 43. The songs that we sing here are scriptural songs. I don't know of any that we sing that are not scriptural. And I think that we are wise enough in the Lord and mature enough in the Lord to be able to discern spiritual songs and songs of the Word from songs of our human nature. Do you know what I'm talking about? And it's really good to know that the worship leaders, particularly one of them, has discerning of spirits. And he can discern and get a direction for those types of things. Discerning of spirits is a very good thing to have when you're leading worship, particularly in selecting of songs. But I just want to read just a little bit of this. The whole chapter is fantastic, and man, I just wish you'd read the whole thing. But let's just read a little of this, and we'll see. This is one of the songs that we sang tonight, and as we sang it, I was just impressed to find it, and let's read it. Chapter 43 of Isaiah, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that hath formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Isn't that something? Isn't that just a wonderful thing to know that he has called us? We haven't called him. He's called us. He's chosen us. And that we are his? You are mine, saith God. Now that to me gives me a lot of comfort. I'm not the devil's. I'm not even my own. I'm his. Now that's encouraging. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Is that what we sang? I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Child, you are mine. Now that's an encouraging word to me. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Miriam gave me some tapes. And they're tapes about prayer. And she told me when she gave them to me, she says, in a way, I don't want to give you these because you're going to want us to be getting up every morning at 6 o'clock and coming and praying. And they are good, and I so bear witness with them. What it's about is taking the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I have taught that prayer in a very similar fashion. He's given a lot more insight and things than I saw, but I've taught that in a very similar fashion so I could immediately bear witness with it. But one of the things that he does, and he has about 300 meeting every morning at 6 o'clock to pray. One of the things that they do is they look to the north and they demand that the princes of the north give up the seed. Then they look to the south. Then they look to the east and to the west, and they demand that those powers and principalities give up the sons of God, give up the seed of God, that it can come back. Man, you know, this is powerful stuff here. I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by name. Child, you are mine. Now, that should give us so much comfort. You're God's. You've been purchased. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. You're not the devil's. Whose are you? You're God's. You're His bride. He loves you. My goodness. Well, that's just a good place to go where I want to go tonight. So I won't even take an offering tonight. I'll just teach. Thank you. There's something very wonderful knowing that I'm God's. Knowing that the Lord loves me. He loves me just like I love my wife. And He desires to hold me just as I desire my wife.